Welcome to the MBS Podcast. This is episode number 7, recorded on June 4th, 2019. The title of today's podcast is Getting Things Done. Your hosts today for the MBS Podcast are Mark Polino, myself, Belinda Allen, and Sean Dord. MBS Podcast, where Mark, Belinda, and Sean talk about Microsoft business and stuff. Warning, we often geek out. Today we'll be discussing the question we get asked a lot. How do you get everything done? Hello and welcome everybody to the MBS Podcast. It's Belinda. Hey, Mark Polino, how are you?
Good, how are you, Belinda?
I'm doing all right. And of course, last but not least, Mr. Sean Dord. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Belinda. Hey, Mark. How's everyone?
Hey, Sean.
Yep, forward with Dord. So let's go ahead and get started. And today's topic, we are going to answer the question, or at least talk about it amongst ourselves, something that we get asked a lot, the three of us get asked a lot, and that's how you get all these different things that you do done, you know, like all the different presentations that we have to do. Mark's off writing a book, it seems like, every other week. And so how do we get all these things done? So Mark, let me start with you. I mean, first of all, let's skip work aside for a moment. Let's talk about your fiction work. How do you find time in with all that you do with your job and your family to write fiction?
So some of that I just do in bits and pieces and where I can find holes. And I actually have been playing with something at the moment, and I'm writing on my phone. So I've got it saved to my phone. And when I'm standing in line or doing something, we were at Disney a couple of weeks ago, and I was standing in line waiting for a ride, writing a book. So, you know, you just kind of, if you want to do something, you figure out how to fit it in.
Do you like write the words, or do you use the memo recorder?
No, I tend to write the words. I tend to type on the phone, two thumbs, phone side, iPhone sideways, two thumbs, save to the cloud, all that kind of thing. And now sometimes when I actually pull that up later, it takes a few minutes to decipher what I actually wrote between, you know, autocorrect and all that sort of thing. But usually at least I get a gist of what I was trying to say, and then I can clean it up later if I have to.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. I cannot imagine writing. I have a hard time writing an email on my phone, if you want to know the truth. And the screens are much bigger, but I can't imagine doing that. That's pretty cool, I have to say. So, Sean, I the same kind of goes for you, because every time I turn around, you're doing another presentation. But you have also devoted a lot of time to personal blogging, especially around the experience that your family has had over the last year. And I don't know how you have time to tell the story, because every time you add to the story, you are adding a lot of content and there's a lot of passion. I know it's kind of like almost as if you're journaling and you're just sharing your private journal with us. But how do you find time to do that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I wish I had an easy answer. I think part of it comes from just desire, whether that's presenting through the Dynamics channel or, as you mentioned, blogging about my personal experiences. There's just a genuine passion behind it that kind of rises to the top when you have downtime, rather than just kind of like what Mark said, you know, where you can kind of just get yourself into that mindset almost instantly. You don't have to have a certain environment stage to be creative, because you're really just sharing something that's on the tip of your tongue. So for me, it's more about just taking the time to, sort of like a journal, but just taking the time to do something that I'm passionate about. Interestingly enough, you know, certainly, well, obviously my family I'm certainly passionate about, but you can tell what someone finds time for, whether that's writing fiction or speaking about finance or what have you. It's easy to find the time for that. What's harder is to find time for the things that you aren't quite so passionate about.
Yeah, I hear you on that. But fortunately, we all love what we do. That's quite apparent, or we wouldn't do what we're doing, at least in the way that we're doing it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Right.
All three of us end up presenting a lot. And, you know, Sean, I have to say, it seems like every single time I turn around, your name is popping up like, oh, Sean's presenting this. Oh, Sean's presenting that. I mean, like, for example, next week is the Microsoft Business Application Summit. You know, I'm excited because I'm doing a single 20-minute session with Mariano Gomez. So what am I getting, 10 minutes? But then I was looking through the schedule trying to decide what all I wanted to see. And your name, how many sessions are you doing? Because your name kept, I saw it pop up at least twice.
I'm doing, and I'm really, really excited about the chance to speak at Business App Summit in Atlanta. I'm doing a session with Errol Shanefish on the roadmap for Business Central. He asked me to participate in that, and I'm super stoked about that. And like you, I'm doing a theater session on Excel and a theater session on Business Central, both sort of branded as life hacks. So pretty excited to travel the short distance for me to Atlanta. I get to see you in person and some others in person, so that's always exciting too.
Yes, that's true. That's true. We wish you were going, Mark.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not making this one, but you know.
Well, for those of you listening, when we were talking about, we just asked, who's going? And Mark said, oh, I'm not going to that. And said he's going to another conference in Amsterdam. And I'm like, I would probably go to that as well, if I could.
Same here.
I love Amsterdam. Very cool. So blogging is another thing that seems to take an incredible amount of time. And it just... Where do you guys find the time to blog, and how often do you try to blog, and what motivates you to blog? Mark, we'll start with you on that one.
So a lot of mine is kind of reblogging what other people have done. When I started this, there were not a lot of folks blogging around Dynamics GP, so I've just kind of continued that. And the tools continue to get better. So at this point, I've got some really simple tools that let me take an article and push it up into WordPress, and then I kind of do some cleanup on it and can schedule that out. But I'm typically not blogging on a deadline, you know, so I don't necessarily have stuff that I have to blog for tomorrow. So that lets me aggregate a few things and not necessarily stress out if I'm not getting a whole lot done, you know, today or tomorrow. The items will get done within a couple of days, and folks still get the info, and it's not something necessarily that has to be out immediately. And then in terms of ideas, I tend to take that idea and scribble it down. I've got a spot where I list those kinds of things. And when I find the time, I write it. And there are times when I look at those and think, wow, that was a really stupid idea. I'm glad I didn't write that. It just needs to sit there and, you know, germinate for a couple of days and decide whether that's the right thing to do or not. And if it is, it usually happens pretty fast.
What do you see that motivates you? I mean, when you see things that are other people are blogging and you want to blog on those things, I mean, what kinds of things are making you go, oh, that's something I'm interested in? I mean, are you going after a specific topic, or is it something that interests you?
So I started blogging because I wanted to document things that I didn't want to lose, you know, how to do this, how to fix that sort of thing. And so it tends to be those kinds of things that people should really know. In a lot of cases, the items now have been blogged a lot, 10, 20, 30 times between me and other people. But a new user still doesn't know that, or someone who is still kind of growing in their use still doesn't know that. So it's still helpful to see that again, to remind people who maybe have forgotten that, you know, GP can, you know, how to fix a journal entry in GP, or how to correct fiscal period problems, that sort of thing. Because if you've never done it before, then you're really relying on Google to be able to find it. And as those things get older, they get harder to find. So when someone puts that up because they've just discovered it, I want to reblog it to make sure that gets out to everybody.
Right. Hmm. Right. And what about you, Sean? I mean, how are you, what's your philosophy on blogging?
That's a great question. It goes back to sort of, you know, my initial attempt to find information about something. So if I do a Google search on how to combine vendor records, And I read someone's blog or watch a video and it doesn't quite put all the pieces together for me. Like Mark said, there's a lot of resources out there, but everyone interprets the information in a different way. Maybe not just their mindset, but how they apply it to their work environment and their business process. So if it doesn't quite make enough sense to me, it doesn't mean that it was poorly written or it wasn't complete. And some of them are timely, so the software changes over time. So when I get to that point where I feel like it wasn't clear to me, I usually make a note of that. And I call those life hacks, right? So I make a note of that and I try my best to at least once a week, which is almost never a goal that is reached, write out one of the blogs so that it makes more sense to me and I can kind of be the champion of that business process for me. And then I in turn take that, the motivation behind that is I take that and I try to share those in my in-person presentations. So not only do I get the ability to talk about a particular topic for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but I try to reference everyone who's participating in person back to my blog so that they get to see more detail about it and kind of hear my mindset as I walk through. I'm another thing that kind of makes blogging a little easier for me than maybe others. And maybe this is a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but I don't quite care so much about grammar. I tend to type the way that I think it and try to emulate my voice through the typing rather than being so grammatically correct. Not that I throw caution to the wind and I just let autocorrect take over, but I feel like readers, they hear my voice through my typing, and that motivates me, especially because I get a lot of messages from folks who indicate that it's helped them throughout their work day, which is always pretty cool. How about you, Belinda? I know you've been writing a lot of blogs lately and publishing them out there on Power BI and Power Apps and even some GP stuff. How do you manage to juggle all that time, and what motivates you?
I make a point to sit down and do that, but mostly when I'm creating new content, I'm usually thinking about what I've been working on recently and have had people respond to. And so that's usually usually how I end up doing it. And one of the things I found over the years of doing this, and I have no doubt you guys have seen it too, it always seems that if somebody brings up something, and it's not because, you know, if you got a hammer, everything's a nail, but it always seems if somebody asks you about something like implementing, I'm just going to say BankRec for an example, it seems like you'll have two or three more people call up with the exact same thing. Hey, we want to implement BankRec. And I'm not sure what causes these clusters to happen of topics, but so I usually tend to write about those or something new that I learned. I love learning. And so if I see something really cool and I think about, oh, how could I use that? Then that's kind of how I end up doing that. And like you guys, it's as much for a reference for me as anyone else. And I think that's a secret a lot of people who do not blog do not know, is that when you blog, it's basically your own library of resources. And I've no doubt you guys experience this too. You go and you like Bing or Google a question, and how often do you get your own blog post?
Often enough, I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't remember that I wrote about it already.
Oh yeah, all kinds of times I find my own.
So what time of day do you guys blog?
Usually I go, that guy wrote a great blog post. Oh wait, that's me.
What a brilliant dude. What time of day do you blog, or do you have a special day of the week or a special time of the day? Sean, we'll start with you on that.
I try to use my Monday morning time. I call it Monday morning motivators to do the things that are the priority for me for that week. And a blog is usually that. But it almost always winds up being an evening thing where maybe the kids and Jennifer are off doing something and I have some quiet time, or Jennifer's working from home. And I have some quiet time and I just kind of throw it together. Another thing that I like to do is take advantage of travel time. So if I'm on an airplane, I'll try to scribe out a blog using up that time as well.
What about you, Mark? What time of day or week do you blog?
I don't have a set time. I tend to throw it on my task list And so as I'm working through that throughout the day, if there's an hour or half an hour between calls, and that's the thing that needs to go, I'll go to work on that particular item. It just kind of depends on, what the day looks like and what the other priorities are and where the holes are. So mine tends to be much more task list driven there.
Do either of you schedule blog posts ahead of to for the future?
Yes.
I should. I don't, but I should.
So because I do mine in clusters in a lot of cases, I will schedule them to hit over the next couple of hours in a lot of cases, because dropping four of them at once is just a little weird sometimes. So I'll schedule mine over, a day or 2 days, depending on how many are going out. And I don't schedule any on Friday unless it's just something funny, because I don't just over time, I've seen that the audience drops significantly Friday and into the weekend. So I try to keep mine Monday to Thursday.
I know for a while David Musgrave did the blogs on Friday that were math problems.
Yeah, that's way too complicated for Friday.
Okay, so along with the spirit of how do you get everything done in the roles that all three of us are in, there's a lot of learning that has to happen on particularly new technologies to stay ahead of things. Workloads, information for customers, new features, new products, and so forth. When do you find time to learn and how do you go about learning? So we'll start with you on that, Mark. When do you find time to learn the new stuff for yourself? I mean, especially in the boat that you're in, you have been in a situation where you're having to learn a lot of new ERP systems on a regular basis. I mean, how do you take the time to learn all those?
So I tend to force it. My calendar is really controlled by customers of ours who can book training, but I force that into a certain number of training items a day. And so, when we start to reach that limit, then I'll go ahead and cut it off and force people to move to another day for the future. And that often leaves some holes. So if a bunch of people schedule the morning, but other times they're just like anything, you end up with holes in those days. And so if I see that something's coming, I'll go ahead and block off 2 or 3 hours and note that it's for this particular thing. And it's rare that I break those. Once something's on your calendar, not too many people force a move on that. They'll just see that there's a hole in your, that it's blocked off, and they'll move on and ask for a different time. So it's pretty rare for someone to try to interrupt or break into a space on my calendar that's blocked off. So I tend to force it on the calendar side, and then same thing. I still control it with task lists. Just even I've got a large project I'm working on now, and I've broken it up into chunks, and each chunk is about 8 or 10 tasks. And so I work on that section, filling it into holes or forcing time in places. And then once that's done, I fill it back up with 8 or 10 new tasks from the next chunk. Kind of that eating the elephant approach, one bite at a time.
What about you, Sean?
I use the calendar the same way, and it's interesting how no one really cares what's on your calendar. They just look for the empty spots, like Mark was saying. I think that's hysterical. But learning is motivating to me. My career, my role, and the organization I work for would be very boring if I didn't feel like I was constantly on the leading edge of technology, or at least trying to be. So we have I have a dedicated 2 or 3 hours that I try to either watch a webinar or just read about some things, or listen to an audio tape or audio book. Audio tape, gosh, I can't believe I said that. Audio book. But
So how old are you, Sean?
so there is a lot of there's a lot of learning available through our phone, right? So just using your earbuds to listen to YouTube videos, that's always cool too.
Yeah, learning sometimes can be a difficult thing to make time for, and it's critical. I mean, it's critical for everybody, but things are moving too fast. You have to dedicate time to learn, or you're going to fall behind very, very quickly. Go
It
ahead.
certainly helps to have a supportive employer, right? Without that, I think you're cutting into too much personal time. There's nothing wrong with learning on personal time. But having a supportive employer where you can put that on your calendar If learning is critical to your motivation and well-being, that's key.
Right.
So what kind of tools and processes do you guys use day to day?
Oh, I use so many different tools. One of them things, and of course, I have to say I use this and I do use it, but Richard, my husband, wrote that to-do review, the number two, do review.com. I use that every day. I've got categories in there and I keep all of my tasks in there. And so it's all about the daily review. So I constantly go through and am looking at like one particular area. So I might focus on, for example, user group activity. So I'll go to my user group category and I will, you know, peruse all of my user group activities and sometimes electronically procrastinate or move things up and edit them. Yeah, that's one of my big things is electronically procrastinate. And and then I kind of I use that as a guideline for what I need to be focusing on for the day. And it includes all the things that we talked about, including things that I want to spend time learning on. So a lot of times if I see like a cool video or something on YouTube, then I will say, oh, I need to go and, you know, look at this video a little bit closer, or all of the Microsoft Build sessions are on demand. And I'm like, oh, I got to go, you know, check that out. I want to spend a little bit more time looking at that. I've been trying to learn R, the R programming language. So I'm like, oh, I got to spend more time on R. And, you know, so all these different things I've been spending, I use that as my guide for where I need to spend my focus. And I try to have like something new and different that I'm learning each day because I love learning and it makes the day a lot of fun, you know, when I'm getting to learn something new. But that's one of the tools that I'm using the most to keep myself organized. But that's probably it, the biggest tool that I use. And I use it regardless of whether I'm on my machine, my iPad, or my iPhone.
Cool.
What about you?
Sean, why don't you go?
So I use just a long list of different tools. And I've convinced myself that I'm still trying to figure out which one will work the best for me. But I think in the end, there's just, I kind of need them all to manage certain things. I've grown real accustomed to my home digital assistant. I will not say her name for ad hoc reminders. I use Wunderlist for work and personal tasks, like something that I would define as a task, for mostly because it's, you know, embedded in Outlook and then easily portable on my phone. I also am still guilty of something I really hesitate to share, but you're my friends, so I'm going to say it, and maybe I'll go to a support group for it. But I still use my Microsoft Access database that I built 15 plus years ago for task management. Maybe that's just out of habit, but it really does help a lot because I can categorize and organize. And it does some things that, you know, frankly, just some of the others don't do. And lastly, I use, and I love using, my good old-fashioned on-the-wall whiteboard for jotting down thoughts and ideas.
Yeah, there is something about that in-your-face of a whiteboard that I like as well. I don't have one anymore.
The physical aspect of writing, too.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm using Apple Tools, Calendar, and Reminders, but I've done the same thing on Outlook with Tasks and the Calendar and Outlook. Microsoft just hates tasks, and I don't know why. They can't seem to, they'll stick it in Outlook and then they won't put it in the mobile version and all those sorts of things, or it'll take 2 years to add things to the mobile version. But that aside, the two big things for me are, in my role, clients can book into my calendar. And so we've been using Calendly, and now we're transitioning to HubSpot. But essentially, they go to a website, they see available times with rules around them, and they're able to book into my calendar. So I'm pretty actively managing my calendar if there's times I need to block off to make unavailable, that sort of thing. I'm pretty actively managing that. And then on the task side, like you, Belinda, I've got categories of tasks. but I have a today list and a tomorrow list. And so at night, I move my items into the appropriate list because there are some things I can look at and go, that's just not happening today, but I can get to it tomorrow. And I don't want to lose that. So I stick it on that list. And then today, I prioritize using a technique I bumped into that is 1-3-5. And so the most things you will have on your task list for a single day is 9 items. And I cheat a little bit with some of those. But so I have 9 items on my task list at the most. Some days I have 1 because there's only one thing that absolutely has to be done today. And there's, you know, 17 other meetings that are going on. But that one item gets marked with the highest priority. So, you know, 3 exclamation points or whatever the highest priority is in whatever tool you're using. And then 3 items get marked with kind of that medium priority, and then 5 items get marked with the lower one. So you've always got a feel of what's the priority. And I don't necessarily do them in those orders because sometimes time and energy and availability and other things means I'm doing some of the lower items first and maybe not getting to the larger items because someone's not available or some thing that I need is not available or complete. But the point is, I find that because I have it that way, I'll get to the end of my day and I'll look at it and I'll realize, oh, there's just 2 little things on there. I can go ahead and pound those out rather than quitting. It's just going to take me 10, 15 minutes. And then my task list is done. And it's I find myself sliding in a couple of extra little things in a day to finish off the list and get that win that it's done. But then I also negotiate the list. I'll get halfway through the day and realize I am never getting to that thing. And I'll pick it up and I'll move it to tomorrow. And so it's still off my today list. You know, so it's not always about finishing them, but it's about understanding and sometimes negotiating with yourself over that list. And then I cheat. So sometimes I have errands that I need to run, and I'll put one thing on my to-do list that is errands because I'm going to run them all at the same time. And then I've got a spot where I've got, you know, I need to go to the grocery store and I need to go to Home Depot and I need to go do this. But on my task list, it's one task because I'm going to get in the car and do it all at once.
And what do you use, Mark, for that list? Is it just a paper list? Or...
No, Apple Reminders at this point.
Oh, Apple Reminders. Gotcha.
Yeah. And so I've got it on all the devices and, you know, we just check stuff off and it tends to be pretty straightforward for that. It's not always the fastest. Moving things between categories on the phone in particular can be a little clunky, but you know, just again, any task manager should do about the same thing. You really just have some categories and you create one for today and one for tomorrow. And I've yet to see a task manager that can't do, you know, high, medium, low in terms of priorities. So that has made a big difference for me.
You also have to have that willingness to allow yourself to move something to tomorrow and to be realistic with what you have on your list.
And
I like that idea of keeping it to 9 items because I know I try to keep mine. I can see 10 items on a page. So I try to keep it to less than 2 pages or less, preferably 1 page, because then it feels a lot less overwhelming.
Well, and if I've done the 9 most important items for the day, the reality is I'm done. You know, sometimes you have a day where all the important stuff takes just a couple of minutes. Maybe you think something was going to be, you know, 6 hours and you realize you misunderstood it. And so it's, you know, 20 minutes and you've torn through your list. You can certainly always add stuff at that point in time. But, you know, if you've done all the things on your list and it's like 2 in the afternoon, you really just kind of want to sit back and congratulate yourself and go, dang, I had a good day. Because there's plenty of other days I don't get through the list. So, you know, you manage it. And after doing it a little while, you get a feel for what can reasonably be accomplished in a day. But I find that I will push to do things that are on that list just because I want to be able to say that I wrapped up the list. And again, some days it's 2 items because really those are the only 2 things that are absolutely critical for me to do tomorrow. And if I can get those 2 things done, I've got a huge win. Or, you know, literally I have, you know, 4 90-minute meetings tomorrow. So my chance of anything getting done approaches 0 very quickly. That includes lunch. So on those days, I don't put much of anything on the task list because there's no reason in putting pressure on yourself when you know reasonably you're not going to get that done. those go on the tomorrow list, so I can start thinking about what happens after, you know, this day that I'm basically going to lose in terms of getting tasks done.
Yeah, sometimes I on my Outlook calendar, I will like block time off. That's just to remind me not to schedule anything. And so my teammates don't look and see that I have time free. But yeah, I stick to the whole list of my tasks for what I want to do. And a lot of times I find that as I'm reviewing it, I can consolidate tasks because they really are, you know, there might be three or four items, but they're really all one thing. And so I'll put them on there together.
Either of you guys still use Post-it notes like I do?
I do not.
Yes.
I'm... One of the things I made as a consultant was I just quit using paper at some point because it's a pain in the neck to haul around. And so when I started working from home, I just kept that. I have a small notebook for notes, but I almost never use it.
Well, I like to have them on my desk because occasionally I will think of something during a meeting. So while we were talking today in this podcast, I wrote down learning because I thought, oh, I want to ask them about learning. Like, how do they find time to learn? And I use them for things like that, but then I turn around and transfer them from that into my list after it's done. But that's mostly to keep from hearing the bang, 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 and clatter, clatter, clatter of a keyboard while you're in a meeting.
Yeah, I use my iPad with the pencil for that sort of thing. It's not that I'm not writing it down, I'm just not sticking it on paper.
What about you, Sean? You must still use them if you asked.
Oh, I really do. And I'm again embarrassed by how much I use. There's probably 20 on my desk. They all have meaning. And like you, Belinda, they're meant to eventually either be quickly taken care of or make their way onto an official list. I think it's an old habit. I think it's just a habit and why I use them. But one thing I do like about it is that I can, I get so many reminders on my phone and on my tablet that things tend to get lost in that notification or toast menu. So I know if I've got two things I need to really take care of first thing in the morning, I could stick them on my monitor. And that's a helpful reminder, the real world reminder pop up. I think that's another reason why I like them.
So let me ask you, Sean, when you're walking around the expo hall of a trade show and you see your particular booth has the swag of the logoed Post-it notepad, do you lunge for it and grab it like I do?
I actually don't. I don't know why, but I prefer a certain color and it just gives me a little space.
Oh, you are really into the Post-it notes, aren't you?
Well, so to be perfectly clear, right? So I need to see them. Otherwise there's no point in having them. My notebook's yellow. So what if I use a yellow Post-it? It may not be as obvious to me. So I use a bright hot pink, and that is so it's a nice easy reminder for me. And okay. I have officially said too much.
So no. So Christmas list for Sean, we're gonna add pink Post-it notes. now I know what to shop for.
I think we need to find him like one of those like big charts, flip chart easel size Post-it note.
Oh, they stick actually, to the wall?
Yeah, they stick to the wall. So they just have the big Post-it note, right, on the wall. Yeah, that's hysterical. Yeah, I have to admit, I still love notebooks and papers. And when I see swag of a nice notebook, I'm like, ooh, I have to have this. And so I still love it. I like carrying little notebooks in my purse. Occasionally, I would want to use paper instead of. I do use my iPad a tremendous amount for things like that, but I don't know. I still love going to office supply stores and roaming them, and you know, oh, and it's just so much fun to me, and it makes me miss the days of the FileFax days. Remember that every beginning of every year in December, you'd go and you'd get. Oh, these are my new pages for next year. Look how pretty they look. And you'd get them together. I miss that.
I don't miss that. I completely understand what you're you're describing, sort of that fresh start every new year with that. But I don't miss that.
Oh, they had such cool stuff. And then you'd get there and you'd be like, oh, look at this. This is so neat. And I totally miss it. But they're nowhere near the practicality of using something on technology. So I would never go back to them. But Richard and I, we love roaming. We'll go to Office Depot or Staples and roam and like, oh, look at this. This is fun. And, you know, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun to me. It's one of my favorite kinds of stores to go to. It's not going to the hardware store. It's just fun.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So what else do you guys do to get yourself going, in getting a lot of these tasks done? Do you find yourself wanting to get to your desk early, or do you find you end up staying at your desk late? I know, Mark, you and I have written a couple books together, and I know for a fact that we've been up at like 2 o'clock in the morning in different states, chatting with each other back and forth as we write. Do you tend to stay up late? Do you tend to come in early? I mean, or do you just really try to focus on getting it done during the day?
I used to stay up late, and now I'm much more kind of get started on it early. It's just sort of a change over time. And while I might be working at 2 a.m., I'm not at my desk at 2 a.m. I tend to try to work really hard to get out of here at a reasonable time.
That's interesting, because you and I both are in the scenario that we're working with companies that are in a later time zone than we're in.
And it happens. A couple of weeks ago, I had a training with some folks in Australia, and so we had kind of massaged the timing. And so I was working into the evening, but it's not a common thing. It's not normal for me. I'm usually done kind of around 6 o'clock, and that's about it. So I've pushed to do that, you know, go have dinner with the family, all that sort of thing. And then if I go back to work, it's typically not in my office. It's more likely, you know, on the couch, something like that.
Right. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm working as much in the evening if I'm sitting on my notebook on the couch, but I miss my, you know, big 34-inch monitor when I'm, you know, working on my notebook. What about you, Sean? You a morning person? You a late night person?
I'm far, far more motivated in the morning. That doesn't mean I get more done. I'm just more motivated. I take a little bit of pride in making sure that my evening time is time that I spend doing something I want to do. And that sometimes is work related, you know, because there are things that, you know, you want to help a customer, you know. But it's never like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this into the 8 o'clock hour or something even later. And I'm pretty proud of how strict I am with myself on that. As soon as I came into a consulting role, that was something I wanted to make sure of, because it wasn't happening in the private sector when I was working as a customer. And so I do my task checks, you know, what I achieved throughout the day are usually into the afternoon. Like, I spend more of my morning ramping up and preparing myself for what I'm going to do today, tomorrow, and the remainder of the week. Yeah, so that's usually how things go for me. I do plenty of things in the evening, but like I said, there are always things that it's a willingness to do. And that is, you know, a lot of times working, but it's also writing or just, you know, driving around on a lawnmower, pretending like I'm working hard, cutting the grass.
Yeah, that you do have to have that mix. That's for sure. I had a couple of days last week where I felt like I got up and went straight to work, and then went from work to a walk, and walked to dinner, and dinner to bed. And it just doesn't mix for tough days. But so you definitely have to have that balance. That's for sure. I like in the morning. I really like that early morning at the computer, when like all the news on the Bing is still fresh to me, and I've got a cup of coffee in my hand, and the phone's not ringing yet. And, you know, so it's my favorite time to learn, and favorite time to blog, and favorite time to do all sorts of things. I find just the whole day, everything gets much more distracting as farther the day goes. So I really love that morning time. So that's probably my favorite time. So, Mark, you've written a couple books. You got any more coming up? Because that's a big project to take on.
Yeah, I'm sort of writing in around one yet. I don't, I'm kind of doing just some stories around something that I'm trying to write. I don't have anything to announce yet. I'm not sure where this is going. So right now I'm just kind of doing some pre-writing to see if this is going to work. So we'll see.
Sean, what about you? You got any books in your future?
A friend of mine had asked me a little, maybe a couple months ago, if I'd be interested in co-authoring a book with her, and I know it's on our docket. We just haven't really committed to, starting to build the outline and those kind of things. Here late, I've been focusing on my new blog site and trying to get things get content loaded there, and so nothing hard committed for a book, but it is something that I'm definitely looking forward to putting on my list of achievements. How about you, Belinda?
No, I don't have any book on my horizon, but I do have to say it's pretty cool. Like I have the books Mark and I did up on my shelf, and it is pretty cool to look up and see your name on them. I have to say, when you see that physical paper, it's a pretty nifty feeling. Very, very cool. But I've toyed with doing a small book on some BI stuff I'm passionate about, but I don't know that I'm going to do that or not. And if I do, I'm definitely going to. I think I'm going to self-publish this time instead of going the route of a publisher. Mark, are your fiction books, did you self-publish those?
I did. I self-published those, and then we self-published all of the security and audit field manual items for D365 and GP and NetSuite. So
Interesting.
we wanted additional control over those that we wouldn't necessarily get if we went through a publisher.
Interesting. Who knows? Maybe the three of us should write something together. That
Hey, you never
would
know.
be crazy. That would certainly fit in our category.
We could write how not to do a podcast.
But this is true, right? Yep. Have Belinda sitting at the table. Boy, that'll do it. That girl has
Was going to
lots of
say,
them.
do three episodes, take a year off, do a couple more episodes, how not to do a podcast.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
Living the dream.
Yep.
It.
That's it. That's it for sure. So, any closing thoughts that you guys have on or maybe some helpful advice to somebody on how they could get things done? So let's pretend that we're talking to, and we get asked that, not only do we ask, how do you get all those things done, but we get asked a lot for advice from people who are wanting to step up in the community a little bit more. And we always say blog, but what advice would you give to that person to find the time to do the things like blogging and presenting, along with the mix of keeping that balance between work and personal life? Sean, we'll start with you.
Sure. So the one thing I'd say is if you're not passionate about it, don't force yourself to do it. And just because you're not doing it now doesn't mean that you're not passionate about it. Some folks, I feel like I do a pretty good job of managing my tasks both personally and professionally. And sometimes other folks who ask me this question, I think that they're worried more about doing it the way someone else does it. And that's not the case. Task management, managing your time and finding the time to do those things, to be an active member in the community, for example, is really, it's an individual experience. And what works for me may not work for you, but don't be overwhelmed by the task of managing tasks. Take that part away, and just do what's comfortable for you. Maybe try to introduce something new, slowly and instead of trying to go all in. And that seems to be a good approach for me. One, if you writing a blog, for example, writing one blog post is an achievement. You don't have to write one every day. So be sure to set some sort of achievable goal for yourself, no different than you would for things around your house or on a personal level. But normally the feedback that I'd give is don't let the task of managing tasks become a burden. It really shouldn't be.
I think that's really good advice because one of the things you hit on is the three of us blog very differently. Mark takes content from other people and adds commentary and information on top of that. You go out and create a lot of fresh new, and I tend to do, am heavy on the vlogging, the video blogging. So we the three of us do things very differently as well. So that's a good point. What about you, Mr. Polino? What advice would you give to that person?
I would say if you want to be more involved, first figure out what interests you. So, you know, some of us prefer to write, some people prefer to do videos, other people are better at answering questions. To Sean's point, don't feel like you have to do what somebody else does. And if you are doing what somebody else does, don't feel like whatever it is, they do it better, so you shouldn't bother starting. Everybody's got their own take. Everybody needs a little different perspective on this. Sometimes one person can say the same thing four times and another person says the exact same thing, but people understand that other person for reasons I still don't completely understand, but it happens. So, you know, just start, but don't feel like you have to do everything. You don't have to have a blog and answer questions and have a video and do all of it on a daily basis. Do what is reasonable and comfortable for you that you can find time and make the time to do. I would also say there are lots of really good tools around finding a little time. I like David Allen's Getting Things Done and some of the other things we've talked about. But sometimes you also need to let go and quit doing things. There are times when I'm like, oh, that would really be fun to do, but it's really a tangent that is going to take me away from other things that maybe I really want to do as well. I think Sean, Belinda, and I are all curious people, and we could all head down rabbit holes into new things we want to learn. So you do have to learn sometimes to just say, nope, I'm going to let that go and, you know, maybe not learn how to do certain items because I don't want to be spread so thin that I'm not actually any good at anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's real easy to go down a rabbit hole, especially when you are as interested in learning as the three of us are. There are so many things that I want to learn more about and do more with, you know, Cosmos, DB, AI. There's so many things, the machine learning, Microsoft machine learning. And I could easily just spend, you know, with that before I know it, if I start learning on some of those avenues, I have spent hours before I know it, you know. So it was a mistake on Saturday morning when I start with my cup of coffee and I'm like, oh, let me look at this one little thing on machine learning. And then the next thing I know, I'm, you know, a pot full pot into it and still just engrossed. So it's got to watch that.
And again, you, Belinda, what's your advice?
I think my advice is you have to, it kind of mimics what you guys have been saying, that you really have to find your own way to be genuine. And so if anytime anybody tries to mimic something or tries to be the end all be all, then it's always disastrous. You really need to find, you know, what makes you unique and what try to help the you out there. There's other people just like you out there that are searching for the same kinds of answers for the same reasons. So try to help that person or use it as your learning journey, right? So blogging is your learning journey. So as you continue to learn things, create your own library. It just happens to be a blog that you're sharing publicly with people. And so there will be people who will embrace it and there will be people who will not like it, but it doesn't matter. As long as you're genuine to yourself, then that's really kind of what it boils down to. And you have to find your niche. You can't do everything. Like if you're going to be the forum person, you're probably not going to have a lot of time for blogging. So if you're going to be a blogger, you're probably not going to have a lot of time for forums. So you need to find the thing that really works for you. And you have to be passionate about it. If you don't like presenting, don't try to present. Find other ways to contribute to the community. And so we do it because we all love the sound of our own voice.
This is true.
That is very true.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going to get flack from you guys on that.
Although, after training for an entire day, I no longer love the sound of my own voice. But that gets better quickly. So
yeah.
I get over it.
And I know you pick on me, Mark, about some my presentation style. Sometimes he says I'm like a chihuahua. But if I see someone is responding, if I see their facial expression is like, you know, what I'm saying is resonating with them, I'm like, I like hone in on that one person, and then I'm like, hey, you know what else? You know what else? And it just, that just makes my day when that happens. So I try hard to stick to my script, but or my agenda, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. And it's all about the passion for helping people. And so that's really what it boils down to. So you have to figure out what your role in the community is, and then you can take it from there. That's my advice. So I don't know that that's so much advice as it is preaching, but find a way to be genuine, I guess, is really what it boils down to, which is mimicking what you guys said.
And have fun, right? It should be fun for you, not work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It should be fun. It should be fun. So, yeah, if you can't have fun with it. And for me, I always joke, I try to learn something new every day. And if I can learn something new by 6 a.m., I could take the day off. I always joke about that. But the reality is learning something new is just the most fun thing ever for me. And we're living in times where things are changing so darn fast that, I feel like they're changing fast. As I was getting ready for my presentation next week, I started looking at things like what was big technology in 1992. And some of the things that I came across made me laugh hysterically. Like it was in 92 that music, see, here I go off tangent again, but music CDs outsold audio cassettes for the first time. And I'm like, wow, 92 doesn't feel that long ago. But
no, it doesn't.
I can't remember when I bought a CD last, let alone a cassette. And there was no browser in 92. So, I mean, things change very, very quickly. And so, you know, now we're, you know, for fun every now and then on my iPad, I use the Puffin browser just because I love the name Puffin. I mean, you know, there's just all kinds of things to learn out there. And so, not enough hours in the day. I frequently say I wish I had a whole week that nobody else had, that everybody else was sleeping so I could, you know, work on things and learn new things.
I would be happy to sleep during that week.
I'll see what I could do to make that happen, Sean. Very good. All right. Well, thank you guys. And thank you everyone who joined us. This is just our opportunity to kind of answer the big question that a lot of people do ask us on a regular basis about how do you get things done? How do you get your regular workload done while you're preparing for sessions and while you're blogging and while you're doing some of the other community activities that you're involved in? And so you could see we struggle just like you guys. We have days where we put in long days and we try to find that perfect mix of home and work life. So any closing thoughts, guys? Sean?
Yeah, for sure. So thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Belinda, Mark, and I love just chatting, and we hope you love listening. And just a quick reminder that task management doesn't have to be hard, and it's a personal journey. So be sure to at least give it a go. And if you can help in the communities, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have any suggestions for us, wherever you're capturing this podcast, feel free to go to our website, mbspodcast.com, and send us a message. Let us know what task management solution you use.
Cool. Closing thoughts, Mark?
Just thanks to everybody for sticking with us and listening. You know, it's still kind of weird that we get to do this and people actually want to listen to it. So
It is weird. All right, everyone, I hope you have a great summer and we'll be back in a few weeks. So everyone, try to stay cool. Keep on geeking out. On behalf of Mark, Sean, and myself, thanks for listening to our podcast today. Visit our site, mbspodcast.com, for a listing of all our podcasts. From Mark, Belinda, and Sean, have a great day and keep geeking out.